nation has
there are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline.
Greed.
In the dollar.
For lack of a better word.
The late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
Welcome.
This is Money Talks.
Well, good morning, good morning. This is Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running and most respected money show on radio. I'm Bill Lako, certified financial planner. That a dollar will get you a pack of gum?
Oh, it's more than that. Come on now.
Gum, pack of gum?
Two packs of gum.
Two packs?
Two packs.
I think it's more than a dollar.
Oh, that's right.
No, that's true.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's probably a buck and a half or something.
Yeah.
And we have Casey Smith. Are you a CFP?
I am.
Okay. Are you CWS, too?
No.
Okay, good. And then, because then it'll be somebody else with too many damn designations.
Yeah, right. I already have enough initials.
All right. And then there's Troy Harmon. I can't even keep up with all your...
Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
You're a CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst.
Yep.
CVA, Certified Valuation Analyst.
Absolutely.
And you're studying to be a CPA.
That's correct. Yep.
Have you taken tests yet?
I've taken two tests and passed them both.
Wow.
Good for you.
So you got two more to go?
Two more.
Have you taken the easy ones or the hard ones?
Well, it was the hardest one for me. I'm not a tax guy at all. I don't know why it is, but when we start talking about taxes, I know a few things, but basically my brain seizes up. So I went ahead and challenged the most challenging to me first, and like I say, was successful.
Have you done, what is it, FAR?
Yeah, that's financial accounting. I have not, but that is something that we do a good portion of for the CFA.
I see.
I'm not so intimidated by it as I was the tax portion, okay. Regulation they call it. But I got a couple to do. Hopefully
compliance.
In the next, hopefully in the next few months I will.
How much CE do you have to take?
Well, see, that's the good thing.
As a CFA, they don't make you take any.
That's right. None, okay. Yeah.
What kind of BS is that?
Well, you know, they say that you worked hard enough to get the first portion of
once
the
once you know regression analysis, you know it all.
They don't require you, but they do encourage you to continue your education 20 hours a year with, I think, three or four of that being ethics. And we have to keep track of it. I wouldn't be surprised in the future if they don't make it mandatory.
What about a CVA?
CVA is, I think it's like 20 hours over a two-year span. And
you have to?
Yeah.
We have to do 30 hours, right?
30 hours over 2 years.
Plus 3 hours of ethics.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always love the ethics. Are you allowed to steal money from your clients? No. I mean, this is the kind of, you have to actually tell people that you're not allowed to do certain things.
Yeah, declaration. Yeah.
I mean, it makes no sense to me, but, I get it. You can run into conflicts of interest that are gray areas and probably should talk through those, but, you know, to be as blatant as you're not allowed to forge your client's name on a check. Really?
Exactly. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah.
Well, apparently, you know they made that rule for a reason,
right?
You know they made that rule for
there's
a reason.
There's somebody out there.
Yep. Yeah. So, anyway, now, we're not here to talk about designations. We're here to talk about money.
There we go.
Having a decent week.
Yeah, decent-ish.
Yeah. Decent-ish.
Yeah.
We got what? 14 more days?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. By the time this is aired, it'll be 14 more days to a new president. Just to catch up where we left off last year, market S&P 500 up 11.95% with dividend included. Dividend's about 2% of that total. If you dig a little deeper, energy, which was down horribly, if you would have just looked at February 11th in 2016, you would have never expected that energy would have roared back like it did, 27.36%, so 27.4% more or less in 2016, all from the energy sector. Healthcare, the big loss, negative 2.69, the only losing sector in 2016. Telecom, financials. We're kind of the whipping boy most of the year, until
really
we start
off after the election.
Well, it gets a lot of credit for the election, and there are a lot of potential financial regulatory changes coming our way. And they're even talking about Dodd-Frank being reversed, overturned, at least modified. But what helped it was
interest rates.
Yeah. Steepening of the yield curve. And by that, we mean Interest rates on the long end, longer maturities, increased by a rate greater than the short end. And why does that matter to financials, especially banks, when you have...
Because they borrow short and lend long.
Absolutely. That's their profit margin. So as when that widens, it's a benefit to banks. Like I say, it's hard to say what portion meant which, but both of those are positive developments for the banks and financials overall. So pretty good news there. We had a couple of things that were reported this week. It's been real slow because of all the holidays, but ISM manufacturing did come out, looked stronger. In December, 54.7 versus a 53.2. What does any of that mean? Anything above 50 is expansionary. So basically, good news in manufacturing. A little bit of price pressure, which is what we expect. By that, we mean inflation going forward. Then we had a weekly report, MBA mortgage applications. The overall composite index was up 0.1%. Refinance index was up 1.7%. The purchase index was 1.4% negative. So it moved down a little bit. But you wouldn't expect a whole lot of purchasing of houses going on during December of an average year. So not a big deal. Jobless claims, it's still, you know, the big positive spot. So, you know, when you look at all of those things, that's kind of where you – where you got it.
So what do you think about Macy's laying off 10,000 people?
I tell you what, it's I'm amazed that their seasonal results were so bad. And Macy's, I don't know. I haven't looked into the details of who it was they laid off and where they worked or whatever. But retail jobs tend to be these days at least kind of a part-time gig. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that's what you're seeing there. You know, they lost jobs, but they probably were going to be laying off quite a few of those anyway, just because it's a seasonal business. You know, during the holidays is where they get most of their revenue. So without knowing enough about the specific details, I really don't it doesn't surprise me as far as the layoffs. The number is probably a whole lot bigger than I would have ever expected. I did want to run through some other numbers. S&P 500 makes up the 500 largest companies in our domestic economy, but if you look at the S&P 400, which not too many people talk about, it's the mid-cap. We generally consider mid-cap companies between $2 billion and $10 billion market cap, which can be derived by the number of shares on the market times the price of those shares per share. But the mid-cap was up 20.73%. The small cap, which is companies, you know, generally smaller than $2 billion in market cap, were up 26.46%. If you look comparative to gold, all three of those indices beat gold, which was up 8.56%. Emerging markets were up generally, you know, just shy of 11%. And then we had developed markets. This is European countries, Germany, the UK, France, Spain. There's, you know, basically developed nations. Japan's included in this. We're up only 1.37. And they were negative if it hadn't been for a dividend that's about 3.1%. So all things considered, we had a positive year. Europe struggled. We know the UK is still in the works of breaking away from the Eurozone, so that's definitely not a positive for them. But
what did you guys predict would be at the beginning of last year?
We had
like 8% or something.
6 to 8%. We always kind of give you a window. All right, so it's a fudge factor. It just gives us more chances of being right, but it's really difficult. We did think that it was going to be less than an average year, and right before the election, the day before the election, you could have measured the S&P was up 6.1%. In days after the election, obviously, we had about a 4.95% rally between 11.08 and 12.31 for a total of 11.95 is the return. Now,
and what everybody's forgotten about was this time last year, we were in the middle of a 10% decline.
We were, yeah. Yeah, between if you measure from the 1st of December through February 11th of 2016, we lost 13% on the S&P 500.
You know how many clients I talked to that said, the market's never coming back, ever, sell! Not even kidding.
And
here's the problem.
You
can't predict this stuff.
It's tough. It's tough, absolutely. And the thing that we try to look at, the one thing that's probably the best predictor, and it's not going to be, there's volatility all over the place even when you see these numbers, but we look at the fundamentals of the economy. And when you look at what we have for an economy right now, probably the biggest story going forward is the fact that we've had relatively restrictive fiscal policy for the last at least 8 years,
right.
And you could argue that even more than that. But we see that change, and it gives us hope at least and expectation that we're going to have more significant growth, at least in the short term. But, of course, we're dealing with a new president who has absolutely no experience in government. So why does that matter?
I would venture to say he's got a lot of experience in government.
Well,
you know what it takes to build a hotel?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the government oversight?
Yep.
The financing?
The one thing he doesn't have, though, is he's probably got some friends now and growing more, but he can't pass all this on his own.
No, that's true.
He has to have people to support his policies.
That's
and
true.
And we've even seen some back and forth, you know, even in the short time that he's been the president-elect, where you wonder exactly, he doesn't necessarily agree with everything that goes on in the political circles, and he shouldn't, nor should any other, but you know, all things considered, it's going to be interesting to watch, and we're not sure exactly how this works
Hence
out.
That's the reason we follow what?
Yeah, the 10-year rule.
Without you know
doubt.
Why? That means because in 10 years, he won't be here. I mean, he'll still be on this earth, but
right.
He will not be president.
Yeah, that's pretty much a lock, I would venture to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unless there's some kind of...
Yeah, unless he had 4 years off and got elected again, and
right.
What's the likelihood? I think Teddy Roosevelt was the last one to try that.
Yeah, maybe. You might not like Trump, but at least he said, seriously?
Yeah.
That's the only hope that I have for that man, is that he's got some common sense. He should keep his mouth shut. Don't get me wrong.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
But I think we got bigger problems.
Yeah, than whether or not they're being denied of their personal privilege or right or
right.
Whatever it is they're trying
right.
to make the argument.
Remember this. You work for me.
Yeah, well,
right. Each and every one of us, they work for us.
That's true. That's the way it's supposed to be. There is.
They learned that lesson. Half of them did. Now maybe the other half got to get a little. You know.
Yeah. There's long been an argument as to whether or not they understand exactly that they are a public servant, not the king of the world.
Well, look. I mean, if we were in Russia, I'm sure Obama would still be president, but we're not in Russia.
No
we're
matter,
in the United States.
No matter what the outcome of the election, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Whether you could have won or couldn't have won.
Yeah.
That's why we have a 10-year rule, right? Generally, two economic cycles and certainly two presidents.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yep,
a lot of things change. Because I remember laying awake that night when they elected him, and the futures were down almost 1,000 points.
They were.
Right?
Yep.
I'm sending emails out 3 o'clock to our employees talking about it's going to be one of them days.
Yep.
Brace
yourself.
Get ready. And then we walk in, the market opens, and it was ho-hum.
Yep. Yeah, it was. It wasn't much bad at all. It was slightly positive for a while.
Right.
And then rallied since then. Pulled back a little bit over the holidays. But, you know, at one point, I remember saying that the market was up 6.1% from December of 15 through the election day. And then after that, the market had rallied over 7%. We were up over 13%. So we did see a bit of a pullback, you know, right at the end of the year. And finished still 11.95. And, you know, you talked about that 10% decline early in the year. The market was down on February 11th by 5.3% from on the year-to-date measure. So from December 31st of 15 through February 11th, the market was down 5%, rallied back for a gain of almost 12%. That's a pretty significant move.
And Troy, what is the long-term average on large-cap stocks?
10.4% approximately.
So
ask him how many times the market ever ends at 10.4%.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Never.
Never.
We've had two within 5 basis points, and that's it.
But we're above that, right?
We are,
for
yeah.
2016.
Absolutely.
So I have clients all the time. Market, why do you use, 11% in your return assumptions?
Right.
This is 9.5% plus 1.5% dividend.
Yeah.
Well, they also forget about the 4.6% inflation rate we use in
right.
the projections.
Well, I'm just saying 11%. I mean, that's average.
Well, true enough. Remember, it was never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's never going to happen.
And it's happened quite a
bit. It's happened
quite a bit.
Remember 2013?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that 10.4% goes all the way back to 1926. We're talking about through the Great Depression, through, a clash with Cuba. Name it. Our most recent recession where we lost 52%. You include that number in that total, and we're still at 10.4%. That's a really long time.
Yeah.
And 10.4% is still not too far-fetched. I know I ran through some math not long ago on the radio talking about, you have things that go on. If we've got GDP, which is always measured without inflation, it's the real rate of GDP. It was at 3.5% in the third quarter. But then you think about inflation actually benefits companies because
their
revenues include that inflation.
Yes.
Right.
So look, even we have to have inflation for you to get a pay raise.
Absolutely.
Number one. And number two, we have to have inflation. I don't know how much money is sitting in bonds, okay? But as rates go up, people always go, oh, the market's going to tank. Okay, well, maybe there might be a short-term sell-off because people say, okay, I don't need the risk of being in stocks, so I'm going to buy some bonds. But you're also talking about people who have savings accounts. All of a sudden, being paid zero, now being paid 1%. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 1% more money per year they have to spend.
Right.
And what does it do to the economy?
Yeah, it boosts it. There's a multiplier effect.
Absolutely.
Because they spend
that
1%, and the folks that they spend it with actually increase the wages for their employees.
Right.
It ripples through the economy. Yeah,
absolutely. So, so a little bit of inflation wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, even at that, 3.5% plus a 2% inflation, we're at 5.5%. You throw on 2% dividend, which is just a portion of the earnings, and there's a multiplier in the earnings. All things considered, it's pretty easy to get to that 10% when you just sit and think about the math.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's
But there's too many people. Listen, buy gold! Sell!
Yeah.
Buy some options.
What was your dividend?
Futures.
What was your dividend on your gold this year, Bill?
Yeah, it was mine's negative because generally it's in jewelry.
Yeah.
It's a form of jewelry.
I see.
I have to pay insurance premiums on the jewelry.
You
know
go.
What I'm saying? So
exactly.
I was having this conversation the other day with somebody who said, I think gold's the way to be. And I said, I agree. So what are you going to do? You going to take it in physical form? And we have this conversation about a million times a year. Yeah, I think I will. Okay, where are you going to put it?
Yeah.
Where are you going to put it?
Yeah.
All right, so you got one little gold coin? Okay, fine. You're going to back up a dump truck full? What are you going to do?
Yeah, even if you have a safe at your house,
right.
You still had to buy that safe.
Well.
And even then, is it?
Then don't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
When the revolution comes.
Well, that's the kind of.
Buy bullets. If you want to be secure, buy bullets. You're going to go along with it.
Yeah. The only safe metal to invest in is lead.
Completely
there you
agree.
Go.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
We've digressed.
We have digressed, no doubt.
All right. We're going to stop here for a quick break. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.